Hello everyone and welcome to a special edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. Big welcome to everyone watching on video and listening as usual on audio. My name's Andy Warren and I'm joined by a man who's been on the beach this week, that's Stuart Watson.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And we're also joined by a man who's got a little Russian doll in front of him, Mike Bacon.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very well.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. It's mine.
It's yours?
Yeah, it's interesting. From Prague, it's got Grant Ward, got all sorts in there.
Got it from Prague. It's extraordinary how you found something like that in Prague.
My friend Tom got it for me. He got a Grimsby one and a Swindon one as well. Freddie Sears, Jonas Knudsen's in there.
See Freddie on the back.
Yeah, Luke Chambers is in there as well. You can get all sorts of tat around the world, can't you? Yes. And you can get this. We're not here to talk about Russian dolls, guys. We are inside in the glorious heat. We're inside and we're going to talk about the Ipswich Town management situation, which is still ongoing. Was it 3 weeks since Mick said he would be leaving? 10 days since he has?
About 10 days.
And we're searching for a manager. And we've been running a poll on our website over the last week. And Maurice Stein has come out as a favoured option. 30% of more than 5,000 voters want Maurice Stein, the largely unheard of Dutchman, manager of VVV Venlo, to be the next manager of Ipswich Town. Stu, you're the man to start with on this. You've spoken to Maurice. Why do so many people want this man who have probably never seen his team play? Why do they want them to play, be the next manager?
Well, I guess what he said has struck a chord with many. I interviewed him. I mean, a bit of background to it really is he was first linked last summer when Mick was very much in a job, but there was some speculation then whether Mick would go on for another year. His name came up in the Dutch national press at the time. We're still not quite sure where that's originated from, because I've spoken to Maurice. It certainly didn't come from him or his agent kind of putting it out there, which does happen with managers and players, as we know sometimes. So, bit bemused and flattered last year when it came up, spoke to me then, and his stock has risen since then. In the last 12 months, he has taken a very unfashionable, small-budgeted team in Venlo to runaway championship winners last year, and then has kept them up against the odds in the top flight of Dutch football this time around, and bloodied a few of the big boys' noses along the way, the likes of Feyenoord and others. So, the interview that we've done with him recently, he's talked about working on a shoestring budget, improving the players you've got, the importance of working with youth, all of the boxes that I think Ipswich Town fans want ticking in the next manager. He seems to go across a few of those.
He's ticked another box. He's ticked the Dutch box. What a rich history Ipswich have with Dutch players.
Yeah, of course, Ipswich Town. And going back to, I suppose, Muren and Tyson were the first big Dutch interest in Ipswich Town many years ago. I think, as Stuart said, you know, this guy's more is intriguing. And I think Ipswich Town have gone down the route of Roy Keane, which was intriguing, but everyone knew Roy Keane. Paul Jewell. And now Mick, and they were pretty well known for this guy has an interesting story to tell, and you've obviously spoken to him, student, and you've told it well, and that's it's really interesting, particularly how he's kept them up this year. I think that's probably, and as you said, beats a big teams long. That's what Ipswich Town fans would love to see, wouldn't they? They don't expect a manager who's going to suddenly just romp away with everything, but someone who's going to put them on the map a bit, someone who's going to, you know, put them up there near the top three or four, five or six, you know, all the time, rather than sort of just in the middle doing nothing in particular.
It's the Dutch thing's a big thing. I think that's Dutch, really, yeah. You know, with not just Muren and Tyson, but Royser and Wilnes and
Willembeek.
I mean, when they brought the Orange Away kit back a couple of years ago, that seemed to really strike a chord because they played on the Dutch connection then, so you're right, a lot of people won't have seen them play. You watch a lot of Dutch football. I have to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of them play, but they went up with a plus 40 goal difference when they won the league, attacking, entertaining football from what we're told. This year it's been a bit more practical, pragmatic.
Yeah, I watched them last night, and as pragmatic as Dutch football goes, Dutch football, if you don't play 4-3-3, you're an outcast. PSV have won the title not playing 4-3-3, and everybody is up against them. But you can play 4-3-3 slightly more guarded, or you can play 4-3-3 like bang, 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 gung-ho. And I think they've just reeled it in a little bit. They're certainly not lumping the ball forward to big strikers.
Do you think it's geographically to do with Suffolk and sort of Holland? We're quite close. Hook of Holland to Harwich.
He is commuting, isn't he, to his current
Is he?
Current job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His family are based back in his home of
Den Haag.
Den Haag. So, yeah, I think that's been a bit of a. He's living in hotels and doing all that sort of stuff with Venlo at the moment. But he's ready for a new adventure, and he's open to moving the family over to England and testing himself over here. So, we shall see.
Well, I think there's interest elsewhere as well, isn't there? But there are some good Dutch openings coming this summer, and he's rightly, by the sounds of things, high up the list.
Yeah, if Ipswich want him, I think they need to speak to him quickly. I don't think there's been any contact at all. Heerenveen, a number of other clubs in that sort of just below your Ajaxes and PSVs, yeah. That next bracket of Dutch clubs are all very much looking at him at the moment. So, yeah, if Ipswich are interested, I think they should hear what he has to say when you see the results of this poll. He's worth speaking to in the very least, I would say.
Well, I think the poll's interesting because I don't know how many people have heard of him before we've sort of mentioned him. A lot of people will have done, but there'll be a lot who won't, who have then just read up, looked into it and been and really quite intrigued by what they see. I think that's really, I mean, because, you know, that poll's attracted a lot of interest. A lot of people, been one of the best polls I think we've put out. Mm. A lot of people have voted on it.
5,500.
Well, that's a lot of people. That's a good core, you know. And so for them to go for Steen is really interesting. And not just
it's indicative of what I think what Ipswich fans want at the moment, and that's something different and fresh and exciting, and I think those votes are kind of an indication of that more than anything. But there's plenty more options, isn't there, that kind of fit that bracket.
Yeah, there's a breakaway group of four here, and in our poll, which may well not have the man that ultimately gets this job on it, who knows, it's a poll of 25 managers or so on there. Danny Cowley of Lincoln, Tony Mowbray, former Ipswich captain of course, now at Blackburn, and Stephen Gerrard, who had a decent playing career. They're kind of the four leadaways. Should we start with Danny Cowley, who Ipswich fans probably got to really know January before last FA Cup with Lincoln. Great story, former PE teachers just 2 and a bit years ago, non-league in these local parts. Quite a rise for them, and there's quite a lot of support for them getting this job as well. What do you think of them?
You can probably paint the picture.
Well, Danny Cowley, yes, I knew Danny Cowley very well from his non-league days at Concord Rangers, where he took them up many steps of the pyramid. And if people don't know the non-league pyramid, it sort of goes to people may think of the conference, but they don't often look much lower than that. But lower down, it goes right down to up to sort of step seven, which is sort of like step nine, to up to seven, whatever. And he took Concord right through, and then he was being chased all the time by other non-league clubs. I mean, I think even Leiston, who locally, you know, here in Suffolk, were really interested in speaking to Danny Cowley. He ended up at Braintree, and that's where he did some great stuff. And of course, got a lot of television exposure with Braintree in the National League, and the conference nearly getting them into the Football League.
Yeah, they reached the playoffs, didn't they?
Reached the playoffs. Crowds of about 800, which is excellent. You know, 3,000. But I mean, they were semi-pro as well, where all the other National League teams around them were professionals. Conference teams were professionals. Braintree couldn't afford to be totally professional. So Danny's obviously stopped Rose from that point, and then of course, and Lincoln snapped him up, and the rest, as Ipswich Town fans know, their cost for one degree is a bit of history. I mean, the guy is clearly a talented up and coming manager, but experience is not on his side, and I think that's probably the only people will put that against him. But then again, if we said before about Steen, are people looking for up and coming and something a bit different? Well, Danny Cowley ticks plenty of boxes there.
Yeah, I mean, it's him and his brother, we should say that, as Nicky. He describes as his joint manager. I think he's officially his assistant manager, but they're very much
salaries.
A team, do
I think they one gets paid, well, Danny presumably is paid more than the other. I think they share their salary.
I mean, the Lincoln success story is obviously they've taken them back into the Football League. They're in the promotion mix now in League Two. They've won the Chequered Trade Trophy against the odds, beating Shrewsbury at Wembley in the final recently. The Braintree story, you cannot underestimate. The third in the conference as part-timers. Some of those players were getting back at 3-4 in the morning from games and then going into work the next day. And then they were up against some fairly big budget teams in terms of non-league. So they're on the rise. Their stock continues to go. But as Mike says, experience, you know, they've said that leap from League Two to the Championship could be a big one. But they've got some Ipswich fans in the family. I think the family are still based down East Anglia way. If there's one club that would tempt those guys, I think, to make that big leap, Ipswich could be the one.
I think you're right, Stu. I think, and that is the key, because I don't think Danny and Nicky are no fools. They don't not going to suddenly consider themselves Premier League managers just for what they're doing at Lincoln. But I know Ipswich Town are very close to them, as you say, from the family support point of view. In fact, this is an area they know well, you know. So, interesting that, I think.
They're methodical, aren't they? They've said they want to conquer their level before moving to the next one. And I think we've, like, in the media this week, Danny said a few things this week, hasn't he? Start of the week, close to signing a new contract there.
Yeah, I never read too much into these new contract situations, because you do wonder whether it's just employers protecting their asset. I mean, what was the example? Heckingbottom signs a new contract at Barnsley and then moved to Leeds 4 days later earlier this season. So there may be an element of that if we're being cynical. But listen, Danny said that they want to master each level, as you say, focused on the job there at Lincoln. And he wants the speculation to stop. So
fans would like him. I think he's got a very personable nature, and he tries to bring he'd bring the club a lot closer. Than obviously, unfortunately, it's a little bit split at the moment. He'd certainly bring it a lot closer. He's got a very personable nature, and of course he doesn't come from the professional bubble, you know. He comes from a non-league bubble, if there is such a thing, but non-league is far more outgoing and far more fan receptive, you know, and it's a big family, and he's created that at Lincoln. And he wouldn't have to go too much to actually create Ipswich, funnily enough, because Ipswich fans would love it all.
That would be his biggest strength.
Yeah,
the Lincoln fans will tell you he's completely galvanised, not just the club, but the city and the feel about the place. And I think there's similarities between Lincoln being a bit of an outpost geographically and Ipswich, you know, similar down here. And I think that would be one of his biggest strengths, is regenerating the feel-good factor, which is badly needed here. Things that go against him is obviously experience for one, and style of football has obviously been another area of contention. A lot of people have sort of dismissed him as being sort of direct and physical. Obviously, they've got Matt Reed, the big man up front, but he's been at pains to say that it's adaptable football that adapts to the level that they're at, and I think you would have to give him credit and say that, you know, that maybe he would adapt to the different levels as they move along.
Well, he's obviously part of a breed of young up-and-coming managers that are all involved seemingly in this promotion race from League 2 to League 1 or League 1 going forward, and that also includes Nathan Jones at Grimsby, Paul Hurst at Shrewsbury, Daryl Clark, who comes with an interesting assistant Ipswich Town-wise, which we'll get onto, and Derek Adams at Plymouth as well. There's a few of them in this bracket. There's managers, young British managers coming through, and that would have to be an interest of Ipswich, wouldn't it? That group of guys.
Jones at Luton, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. League One and League Two, there's a lot of up-and-coming managerial talent there, isn't it? Younger guys, and I wrote a piece saying that it's in Ipswich's DNA to take a calculated risk on people. If you look at Ramsey, Robson, Burley, they're all men that were in their 30s when Ipswich took a punt on them. Burley had been down in the fourth tier with Colchester and had sort of limited managerial experience. Ramsey and Robson had not long finished their playing careers, so I think Ipswich need to be true to those roots, and given their current juncture, they need to take a bit of a calculated risk. Is going for someone like Cowley from League Two too big a risk for Evans? Possibly, but there's some interesting names there on that list that you've just read out, for sure.
Did I say Nathan Jones was manager at Grimsby?
Yes.
He's not.
Jones is an interesting
one.
Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah, they've scored a lot of goals in League Two. Playing with this sort of diamond system, they've taken Flynn Downs, obviously, on loan from Ipswich. Mick McCarthy, interestingly, has been full of praise for Nathan Jones this season. Ipswich beat them in the Cup right at the start of the season. He was full of praise for Luton then, full of praise when they sent Downs out on loan to them. And you just wonder if Marcus Evans picks Mick McCarthy's brains in terms of who should be next, and I think he probably will, because they're very much on amicable terms, and Marcus did that with Paul Jewell as well in saying who should follow you. Nathan Jones might be a name that Mick would put forward.
I like him. I saw one of his games recently at Colchester, a bit of a difficult afternoon because one of his players suffered a nasty ankle injury, but the weather conditions were horrible, but proper driving football. They look to go through the middle of teams, go round teams, proper midfielders bursting forward to join a front three, I think it was. It's good stuff.
Yeah, they're doing well, Luton, aren't they? And I mean, we're talking about managers whose teams are doing well, and that's the criteria, isn't it? They haven't got them there. You can't just, I mean, lower down the leagues, you do have to perhaps play a little bit more direct. Trying to roll the ball out at Newport County on that pitch, you know, from the fullback and up through the middle, it's not always. You know, you do have to probably be a bit more direct, but it's winning, isn't it? It's winning habits, and these managers have got their teams into winning habits, and they're not just bobbling around, are they? You know, they're winning football matches, however it takes. I'm sure Danny Cowley is right. People have mentioned about his direct football. I'm sure if he suddenly in front of him had a load of players who could play a little bit of tippy-tap type football, he would be able to bring that to the party as well. So, yeah, I think these managers are very adaptable.
Sorry, you continue.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, we've spent a lot of time talking about the two guys in League Two, and we've kind of jumped past League One, where there's options in there, obviously. Yeah.
Hurst at Shrewsbury,
yeah. I know people have talked about him playing football, inverted commas, the right way. I spoke to somebody who's in a senior position at a fellow League One club this week, and they said, I asked them about what's Shrewsbury like, and they said, hard-working, physical. So I wouldn't be sort of going too far down the route of Shrewsbury being some antithesis to the Cowley brothers and Lincoln and all that side of things. But those guys, Darrell Clark at Bristol Rovers, who would come with the added bonus of a certain Marcus Stewart as his number two. I think they've worked
heard of
wonders
those
at Bristol.
Are the days.
You've heard of him, have you?
Marcus Stewart, those are the days. Yeah, what a player he is.
The gloves up.
Yeah, the gloves there.
They'd
we'll
sell,
get,
that
we'll get all gloves
well,
out again and yeah.
They'd sell well.
But isn't it interesting how we're talking about all these managers? You know, bear in mind, Evan's track record is completely opposite of what we're talking about, and yet we feel quite strongly, and fans feel quite, you know, strongly with their votes, something completely different. I mean, we haven't, you know, there's other managers to talk about later on, I know, for, you know, further up the food chain and more well known, but, you know, it's interesting how we're talking about these people with such interest, and there clearly is that among Ipswich fans that they want something completely different.
This is where it's got to, though, isn't it? It something fresh is what is required. And like you said, we'll get on to... There are plenty of experienced championship heads out there, but you do get the impression that people just want something fresh and something new.
And I guess that's easy for us to sit here and say that we want the club to take a big gamble and get something fresh and exciting and new. It's not £6 million of our money on the line and the risk of relegation and all the financial problems that would bring to Marcus Evans. So ultimately, he's the one that's going to be taking the risk, and he has to decide what level of risk he goes for now with this next appointment.
Mm. Should we move on to someone that straddles a few brackets, also high up in our voting? Tony Mowbray, obviously a former Ipswich captain, a Wembley goal scorer for Ipswich, a caretaker manager for Ipswich, a long-time coach for Ipswich. But he's also a successful championship manager in his own right. He took West Brom up. He is currently in the process of a promotion race with Blackburn, and he's managed Celtic and Middlesbrough as well. So he falls into some different camps. George Burley, big supporter of Tony Mowbray, said Ipswich should go and get them. What do you think of the Tony Mowbray option?
I'm still not 100% sure about Mowbray. I mean, he's a very likeable chap. I mean, a very likeable person, very intense, quite an intense character. Do Ipswich Town want to be going for former players? Oh, I don't know. I'm you know, it's always one of those lovely sort of dreams, you know, that
romantic
a former player
notion,
comes back and sorts it all out, and all this last 10 years will just be washed away in the space of, and it's not as easy as that. And Mogg's a great manager, of course he is. He's a great player, legend of a player, and he's done really well, you know, in his managerial career. He's had some relegations as well, though. It hasn't been all sort of, I don't think it's all been sweetness and light, but he's doing well at Blackburn now, and he's doing well there. As a person, I'd love to see him involved Ipswich Town again. Whether I'd like to see him as the main person, main number one man, I'm not so sure. I just think it's got to be a bit of a new broom and completely... almost left field, really, with the people we've talked about up to now. Mogg's credentials are not in doubt. I mean, we're not sitting here thinking whether it'd be good enough or not. It's just a case, can I picture it? I don't know.
Would he want it?
Well, that's the biggest question. I think he would be coming up with some momentum with Blackburn. I think the owners there, the Venkies, have toned it down a little bit and are not so vocal and interfering as they were in the early days. Does he want to leave a club that's on the up to come to a to a club that needs a bit of
big
a
big club as well, of course. Blackburn.
Blackburn. Yeah,
they're going to go up. They're a big club.
Yeah. Geography would play its part. Tony's family are based very much up in the northeast still. I think it's a reasonable commute for him from with Blackburn and Middlesbrough. I think the in-laws are based down in Ipswich. He's got roots down here as well. But tug on the heartstrings a little bit because Ipswich is very much in his blood. So that would be an interesting conundrum for him.
And he enjoyed his short. I think he was caretaker manager for a couple of games, wasn't he, or something?
After Burnley left.
He really enjoyed that. I remember speaking to him, doing an interview with him when he was here. I mean, he loved Ipswich. So from that point of view, you know, the attraction's big.
Burley certainly made a very strong case for him, didn't he, in terms of the style of football and having the Ipswich DNA in his system. And he certainly has his football philosophies in terms of passing the ball and the way he wants his sides to be. For Evans, that might tick a bit, you know, straddles a couple of camps, doesn't it? A bit of championship experience combined with the Ipswich Town history might suit all parties.
Another man with blue blood running through his veins, Shefki Kuchi.
You met him, didn't you?
Yep, I've met Shefki recently. It's an intriguing option. You can't say anything other than that. He's been at quite a few games recently. I've met him as well just to talk about some things. I don't know where you guys feel about Shefki, but it's certainly an intriguing option. And one thing I would say about him is, sure, he's that player that was charging around on the pitch like a headless chicken, in his own words, chasing a crisp packet, Joe Royal's words, but that I don't think that's the kind of manager that you can expect. I think some people are a bit scared that you're just going to get a team of 11 hard workers. And also his managerial record's restricted to Finland, three clubs in Finland, but I think in the fullness of time he can probably be judged on a bit more than three clubs in Finland. Some very trying circumstances in those clubs, financial and kind of in terms of working conditions in the latter. So it's an interesting one, and there's certainly an interesting.
Well, Shefki's the Mogger situation, isn't it? Again, it's the Ipswich Town player who everyone loved. I mean, everyone loved Shefki. I mean, he gave nothing but 100%, you know, and everyone loved him. I think I mentioned this before, where for my person I met sort of immediately after reading about his interest, you know, get him in, you know, love Shefki. But there's a bigger, Stu said, it's a bigger job to be done than just because, you know, they were popular as players and stuff. And, you know, and again, this experience he had in Finland, I think he's
three clubs in Finland.
But is that experience enough for the championship and what it requires?
Yeah, you can't put Mogger and Shefki in the same bracket, can
no,
you? Tony,
no, you
Tony's
can't.
Been manager of Celtic and Middlesbrough and had some big jobs. Shefki's very much on the raw end of the scale at the moment. So for me, that's probably a bit too much of a romantic notion. But from what you've told me, Andy, there's a bit more to the Shefki package in terms of, you know, he's got a few contacts in the game and a few sort of coaches that have had some experience that would come along with him. So I think the more we dig into that one, and you might have some more updates on that in the coming weeks, that may be a little bit more viable than people initially think.
It'd be popular choice.
Well, yeah, I think there's a PR battle immediately with him. Obviously, questions over his record and what he's achieved and what he can achieve, but an intriguing one nonetheless. Should we just look at some of the experienced championship English football guys out there? They're getting
the big names.
Let's go to the man with experience, Steve McLaren, Alan Pardew, Mark Warburton, Nigel Pearson, Simon Grayson. Five
delivered with such gusto there, Andy.
Well, I mean they're all names of names, aren't they? And I mean, you know, it's a bit of a merry-go-round for some of them. Some of them are upcoming. Warburton seems to be the one who think a lot of people are quite interested in. Pardew, I think, sort of suffered a bit of a shock at West Brom and seems to have sort of like blotted a bit of his copybook there with what went on there. McLaren was quite early in the States, wasn't he?
Well, he was before Mick had even announced he was leaving.
Well,
that was a national report that Steve McLaren wanted the job. That was before
all these names of people, you know, who established are the Marcus Evans route up to now. Let's be honest, that's all we've known. So, you know, this is all very feasible. But as we've talked, you know, quite more about up and coming names than probably we will do about these, I don't know. But is he going to go down that same route? Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, they're all potentially.
Yeah, you're right. We're sat here talking about all these different exciting names, but the blueprint for Marcus so far is all three of them have had a promotion on their CV from the Championship. So there's no evidence to suggest he's going to completely deviate from that. Part of me thinks it's a little bit churlish that we're kind of dismissing some of these vastly experienced managers out of hand. Steve McLaren was England manager, for goodness sake. I know, you know, what's happened for him has happened since, but he's been regarded as one of the best coaches in the game, if not the best man managers. That seems to be a question mark against him. He's had failures at some of the last few clubs, but nevertheless, he's a man whose stock has been high. Nigel Pearson laid some pretty solid foundations for Leicester to go on and have that fairy tale Premier League title, which still seems mad to say out loud now. But you know, we've seen from the poll results and just the sense that we get from social media and all the rest of it that Ipswich fans don't want the next man off the merry-go-round. Why? I think there's a frustration amongst football fans that managers get rewarded for failure in this. And you know, I've spoken to a few people within the game that have said they get really frustrated that, you know, in what other industry would you go, waste loads of money, ultimately be a failure, get sacked and walk straight into another very good job a few weeks later? Why not give somebody else a chance to see? And I think that's how Ipswich fans feel at the moment. Whether Evans feels the same, we don't know.
Well, Joey Barton is off the market. We'll move on from here. But the one that stands out from this experience list is Mark Warburton, isn't it? Because he's another one that maybe straddles a little bit of some of the other groups with, you know, his way of, he's worked with young players, he set up the Next Gen series, didn't he? Played a part in that. Worked his way through Watford's academy, took a Brentford side into the Championship playoffs from League One, to Rangers back to the Scottish Premier League. So he's, although he does have a bit of a black mark against his Nottingham Forest side, he's a guy that maybe straddles more than one of these sections, and is a bit more, for want of a better phrase, a bit more of a modern manager than some of the other ones.
A compromise option, I definitely think, in terms of bridging that gap between what the fans want and expect and what Evans may be looking towards, because he's seen as more of a dynamic type modern manager, as you say, because he's come from outside of that football bubble. As we discussed earlier, he's been a City banker that has come in from the real world into football, and I know he kind of left both Rangers and Forest under a bit of a cloud, but I don't read too much into those situations when you delve a little bit deeper into those. Kept Forest up against the odds, you know, on the last day against Ipswich, and that was a very young side that he was brave to keep picking there at Forest, and so he'd be someone that I would entrust to take on the academy and take on Marcus Evans' 5-point plan for the future. So for me, he'd be a decent compromise option.
We spoke to Nicky Forster the other day, who was the Brentford manager when Mark Warburton was brought up to be his assistant manager, and nothing but glowing words there. An incredibly hard-working man, has his philosophy and sticks with it. Hard-working and a good man manager as well. So there's some box ticks. Some box ticked there. Should we move on to the glamour? Move on to the glamour.
Yes, let's go for the glamour
Mike
section.
Steven Gerrard,
Steven
and
Gerrard.
Frank Lampard.
Oh, there you go.
Joint managers, could they do it together?
Well, I'm sure they could. Oh, I really don't know, but I mean, it sells some season tickets, wouldn't it? I mean, if you just announced that, suddenly the press conference, you called up very quickly, get down there at 11 o'clock and Gerrard and Lampard walked out. Well, I mean, the thing is, whoever thought Roy Keane was going to walk down there that day, you know, 10 years ago now? I mean, no one here. And, you know, and it's... it's not completely out of the question, is it? I mean, Harry Redknapp is a known associate, friend, I think, of Mark Sems, or seeks his advice or whatever.
Golf partner. At the very least, he's a golf partner.
So yeah, that's where Frank comes in. Gerrard, the stories have come out about Gerrard and an Ipswich link. So, I mean, gosh, it's. I think Ipswich fans would love it. I'm sure they would, because I can't see how you can't start off with. It's just a case of, is it realistic stroke?
He's polled. Gerrard's polled well. I don't think we're talking about the two as a duo. I think talking about them as two separate candidates.
Oh, you are.
I was. That was a
funny joke from me, because they couldn't play in midfield together.
Of course, but they might be able to coach together, might they?
Yeah,
so there's a different. They're not.
But I mean, Redknapp is obviously is is Frank's uncle and is, as you say, a known advisor to Marcus. I understand Roy Hodgson has become quite a close advisor to Marcus Evans, and of course Roy was Stephen Gerrard's manager for club and country at different stages, so may put in a good word for him. Gerrard for me seems to be one that's that bit further down the coaching path. He's finished up at LA as a player a couple of years ago, was offered the Milton Keynes Don's job, felt that that came too early for him, has gone away, got 18 months of coaching experience away from the limelight with Liverpool's under-18s, and has made it pretty clear that eventually he wants a top job himself. I think in an ideal world he'd be waiting another year for that to come along, but clubs like Ipswich and jobs like Ipswich don't come along that often, and I do think that this is a very appealing job to a young manager at the moment, because it's somewhere, okay, you're not going to get millions of money to spend in the transfer market, but you're going to get time and patience both from the owner and I think from the fans as well. No one's going to be expecting you to turn them into promotion contenders overnight. Provide a bit of excitement and a bit of fun factor and a sense of a long-term project that's building, and I think the fans would get behind you. So for somebody like Stephen Gerrard or Frank Lampard or some of these names, any of these candidates, I think Ipswich would be a big draw for them, no doubt.
And we've got to say as well, kind of very different characters to Roy Keane,
yeah,
who they'll get compared to in this kind of high-profile former player bracket. Both very different,
yeah,
very different characters there.
Well, that, I mean, Mike said he thinks the fans would love it. I think it got a very mixed reaction when we did the Stephen Gerrard story because some people were very much on board with it. A lot of other people said, well, we've been down this route with Roy Keane and it's all ended in tears.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
I put in a piece, you can't tar Stephen Gerrard with the Roy Keane brush. He's, you know, we all know what Roy was like in terms of sort of his dictatorship and fear factor and all the rest of it. I don't sense that Stephen Gerrard is that type of character. A bit more considered with his thinking, if we can judge by his punditry and all the rest of it. But he would bring a circus to town in the same way that Roy Keane did. And for me, I don't think Ipswich need that at this moment in time. It needs to be a bit of a quieter revolution, I think.
I think it does. I think you're right. But it's just, it's one of those, it's just an intriguing, it's just the way Evans has always gone and up with names. And he's, if he's going to do a complete U-turn and go with up and coming, which I think he might do actually, but you know, Gerrard would tick boxes on just getting someone, as you said, who's gone away and spent a bit of time. But again, who do these people bring? See, I've always thought about a director of football at Ipswich Town, but I don't suppose that's going to happen. But if you talk about young managers coming in, the Cowleys, you know, people like that, you know, a director of football or Gerrard, a director of football above all that, I'm just throwing it out there. I've no idea, but I mean, if so, you had some sort of, but another level, you
yeah,
know.
I don't think that's completely off the table as an option, because Norwich are doing it up the road, of course, now with more of the continental approach. More and more clubs are doing it these days because there's so much that goes into a football management job now, with media, increased media responsibilities and scouting and all the rest of it, that I think clubs are thinking it's sensible to share the load now and allow the manager to focus on what they're doing. Mick run everything from top to bottom. Maybe they'll go down a different route this time. Dave Bowman is the director of football as it stands, and he's not left yet, but I think it's pretty clear that he's one of Mick's men and will probably follow him out the door to the next job. So that will open up a void in terms of director of football / chief scout. So it'll be interesting to see how they feel that as well.
That's what Norwich have done, isn't it? Essentially, they've ripped up their whole approach and gone again with this sporting director as the title there, I think. And
yes,
then
Stuart Webber,
and then Daniel Farker as the head coach, and it hasn't yielded results immediately. But I think Norwich fans do feel as if
even though they're not getting the results, they seem more positive than, you know, a lot of the style of football, don't they?
I'm going to throw some other names. There's a few that we polled on here that we haven't really discussed. I'm going to chuck some other names at you for some hot takes.
Okay.
That's all right, guys. Let's start with Paul Cook, Wigan. Thoughts?
Yeah, it'd be another one again, as we said about Mowbray. A lot of it would depend on whether Wigan go up. They look like it's going to be Wigan and Blackburn as the top two. Shrewsbury have just kind of faded a little bit in the last few weeks. If you go up with Wigan, and you know, are you going to want to jump ship to another Championship club? Possibly not. But yeah, I haven't seen loads of Wigan, so it's difficult for me to comment on the style.
I suppose they had a cup run this year, didn't they? Did they beat Man City?
Yeah, they did.
And I think they've sort of Paul, he's a Liverpoolian, and he's quite. I saw him interviewed. Yeah, I think he's quite well respected, isn't he?
Yeah, in the former game. Portsmouth, Chesterfield.
Yeah, he's done well there, hasn't he?
John McGreal, Colchester. Mike, I think you've seen a little bit of Colchester.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of Colchester this year. I think it's too soon for John. I think John's got enough to do at Colchester, to be honest. I think he'll be the first one to admit that himself. You know, it's been a lot of upheaval at Colchester over the last 5 or 6 years. They could do with someone like John just seeing it through, really, I think. And I don't think John would even... Well, I'm sure he'd think about it, but I'd be surprised. Surprised if Ipswich went to speak to him. To be honest,
maybe a little too soon for John. He's only just 100 games into his managerial career. Again, romantic notion with him having links to Ipswich Town and all the rest of it, but maybe a little too soon.
And this was an intriguing one, which, you know, some people might not know all that much about, but Jack Ross, the St Mirren manager, who has just taken his side up to the Scottish Premier League, turned them round a bit. He's certainly got something about him.
I like the sound of Jack Ross. A Scot, and for all the talk about Dutchmen getting the town fans going with their history with the Dutch connection, you think about Ipswich Town, I think 4 of the 61 title winning side were Scottish. Then we move on to Burley and Wark and Brazil and all the rest of it. He's this guy in his early 40s, an intense character by all accounts, has gone in and completely transformed St Mirren, kept them up against the odds, and then they've stormed the title to get back into the SPL this year. So all done on a fairly short budget as well. So the more I research and read into Jack Ross,
how old is Jack, do you know roughly?
41, I believe.
Well, it's not roughly, that's spot on. You've done your proper research. So very good.
Good age, 41.
It's a good age, 41, yes, I can vouch for that.
Saying,
yeah.
Just saying. It's interesting, isn't it, that a lot of these are people that we're talking about that we're not going to have seen an awful lot of their games. I guess naturally, if you're following Ipswich, you're watching Ipswich every week and you don't get to these football outposts. You don't see St Mirren on the TV. You don't see an awful lot of Luton. You don't see much of Lincoln unless they're playing in Wembley Cup finals or knocking you out of the FA Cup. It's hard to really comment on some of these guys, isn't it? But intriguing nonetheless, as you look into them more and more, find out more and more about these characters, and the more you look, the more you like, generally, is what we've found.
And that's what I sort of said recently. It's very easy for us and the fans to sit here and throw names forward and say this is a great option and take a risk, but we're really only scratching the surface on what some of these left field options are all about, really. We haven't watched any of these clubs regularly, week in, week out, to give an informed opinion, really. And that's why Marcus Evans is taking his time and doing the due diligence and proper deep research into these people as characters and style of play and all the rest of it. And then I think, to flip that on its head, when it comes to the interview stage, I think these candidates need to show that they'll have done good research on Ipswich Town and what their current position is, because it's not just about coming in and getting results. It's about much more than that, this job, isn't it, really?
Arsene Wenger's available.
Yep.
Yes.
Mike?
Arsene Wenger, is it? I'm not available. Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger is available, yep. It's extraordinary, that, isn't it? We were talking about this today, weren't we? Saying 20 odd years. I was only about 12 when he first came, first got the job. Well, it's extraordinary. He's not growing up. It's just town, is he? But what an extraordinary 20 years. Gosh, that's the other team. Will we see that again in our lifetime? A football manager go 20 years? Gosh, don't expect we ever will. That's amazing. So, of course, Luke Chambers has been talking about stuff today as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, not quite this time.
He'd make a manager, I think, in time.
I think he's enjoyed it.
I think he'd make a manager in time.
He's got the look of a manager, we think, don't we? And he's been part of Brian Klug's support team, given that he's out with every kind of upper body injury you can think about at the moment. He's been part of that support team in the wake of Mick's departure, and it's whetted his appetite. He's up for it one day. And we'd love to manage Ipswich, he says. Who knows?
Who knows? I think Mick McCarthy was the same age as Luke Chambers now when he moved into player management at Millwall. I think this has probably come just a couple of years too soon for Luke. I think he still wants to get a few more playing days, a few more playing seasons under his belt before he looks to that. But he's made it clear he wants to be Ipswich Town manager one day, and he's certainly got the force of character and personality for it, I think.
I think he's got quite a lot going for him, Luke Chambers, when it comes to management, whether it be here at Ipswich Town or wherever. I think he's a good leader. I think, you know, in an Ipswich Town team that doesn't have many leaders, he stands out remarkably well. And I think time will show us, as a captain, and we look back at captains of Ipswich Town over the years, he'll be up there. You know, he'll be up there. I mean, you know, Mick Mills was extraordinary captain for all the glory years, but I mean, and Matt Holland was a great captain. I think Luke Chambers is going to, well, in years to, you know, you look back in 10 years, so Luke Chambers, he was a good captain. I think he'll go on to management. He just wants to get a lot of coaching stuff under his belt, I'm sure. But he'll have learned a lot from Mick, of his management style, Mick's management style, which I don't think will put him in any, will do him any harm.
Before we finish up, there's a few more we just haven't talked about. I'm going to chuck this list out. Feel free to pick somebody off it if you have any thoughts. Mm-hmm. If you don't, we'll move on. So, Yap Stam, recently sacked by Reading. David Unsworth, coaching through the Everton youth system. Tim Sherwood, last seen in management at Aston Villa, and the Swindon director of football that didn't go so well. Michael O'Neill at Northern Ireland. Michael Appleton, who's in the running for the West Brom job, currently at Leicester. And Nigel Clough, who looks as if he's just going to lose the battle to keep Burton in the Championship again. Any thoughts on any
Clough's
of those?
Clough's an interesting one. Mm. Worked wonders at Burton. Stayed there despite having the chance to go to Forest. Showed his loyalty to Burton, kept them up against the odds. Not going to happen this time. Does he think that this is a fresh start opportunity for him? I think Ipswich fans would quite like the idea of Nigel Clough. David Unsworth is a... somebody that has obviously played at the top level, has been diligently doing his coaching education behind the scenes at Everton, had a few games as caretaker manager there earlier in the season. I've spoken to him. I think he would see this as a good platform for him to launch his career, as we've said. There's a few names
well,
there.
Yap Stam's interesting. I don't think Ipswich fans would be that enamoured with Yap Stam. That seems to be a general sort of, you mentioned his name, is not generally
he's
sort of,
Dutch.
He is, but the flags don't fly too much.
Reading finished third,
but
only
that's exactly it, Stu. So just 12 months ago, he was on the verge of being a Premier League manager, and he was on the verge, and that's extraordinary how the mighty have fallen in the space of, you know, he was, you're right, he was on that verge, wasn't he? And so he must be, he was doing some stuff, right? He must have been to get Reading that close.
My word, what a good centre half he was.
He was a good centre half, yeah. Yeah, he was
absolutely
very good centre half.
And bizarrely, his management style is completely at odds to that rugged, no nonsense.
We go along, goes along, you know, the back a lot, doesn't he?
I've seen him come into some press conferences, and he looks every bit as intimidating as you think he would. But it's pass to death, isn't it? Yeah. Which, you know, we've talked about the direct brand of football can be quite dull. I mean, for me, Reading have been one of the dullest teams I've seen in recent times, because it was just literally right back across to left back across to right back.
You've got to be able to mix it up a bit.
This is a thing with Dutch football, right? They do, every team plays like that. But there's this unwritten rule where you don't get closed down in the Dutch league, so that they can do it and they have the space to move forward. But I guess in England, a striker might try and close
well,
it down and block off the
Waggle will be charged from one side of the pitch to the other. Just
the
like
passes forward aren't going to be there. The easy balls into midfield to get that moving forward aren't there. And I guess, having seen Reading once, my 100% educated opinion is that what is what did for Yap Stam. Mm.
And yet that style got them third in the championship not so long ago. So
you got to have the players to do it, though.
That would be too big a leap in terms of a style shift, I think, from Mick McCarthy Ipswich to what Yap Stam would want.
Right, before we go, anyone else you want to chuck in the hat?
No, I can't think.
I think we've got
a huge list of names there. If we can't find
it'll probably be someone completely
exactly. We probably even mentioned who he is. Yeah, Martin O'Neill's he's just signed a new deal, hasn't he, somewhere?
In the, Republic of Ireland. Yeah.
But as you said, to do new deals.
He's been watching Ipswich a lot, but I wouldn't read too much into that. It's purely scouting from...
I think there's a lot of good names there. You know, there's probably, though, one that's just completely off the radar who will suddenly be hoisted in front of us.
Who knows? Stu? Any names off the... like, anyone could just be parachuted into this list? I think you've spoken to someone.
I know where you're going with this one.
Go on, give us a tease. A little tease.
I've got a nice little story coming up in the early part of next week. spoken to someone that I pretty much guarantee, that nobody will have considered this name or will have heard of this name, but I've spoken to them and they've got a very intriguing backstory. So we're talking of left field options. This is about as far left field as you can get. So
it certainly is.
So far left, it becomes right. Gone all the way around, all the way around the world. Right, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're bound to be discussing this for another few weeks. So we'll catch you again soon.